haven't seen you in ages.
Welcome. The microphone's on. Yeah. Hold on here for technical. I don't think they're on. Microphone's on? No. Okay. Can you? There it is. Okay. Thank you. Welcome. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. And at this time, I'd like the clerk to call the roll, please.
Commissioner Ashajian. Here. Commissioner Blank. Here. Commissioner Burke. Here. Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Cram.
Here.
Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I think today's agenda, and I'll... Director Douglas, I think that we have a lot of consent items and administrative items, et cetera. And as for my colleagues up here, we probably, depending on their choice, we could finish by midday, maybe even by lunch. I know we need a closed session. I talked to Jamie Patterson for about 15 minutes. Is there anything else, sir, that Director Douglas or
Well, as you know, I've given up predicting how long meetings are going to take, but you may be right.
Okay.
With that, we'll try to do our part, and we'll go through the changes on the agenda now first.
Okay, thank you.
I'd also like to welcome the members of the public, and if you wish to address the commission today, please fill out a speaker slip. They're found in the table outside the hearing room. Please fill them out with the item number, bring them to the staff table, and we'll distribute them to the commission prior to your item being heard. Also, we ask that all cell phones be turned off while in the hearing room. For the agenda changes today, on page 7, there are no changes. On page 8, no changes. On page 9 of the agenda, item 8D, the City of Oxnard LCP Amendment number 206 is postponed. On page 10, item 9A, 405-131 Ball, moved to consent. Item 9B, 405-141 Babaik, postponed. Item 9C, 406-65, moved to consent. On page 11, item 13A, 506-233, Department of Fish and Game, moved to consent. Item 14A on page 12 of the agenda, 591-141A6, Seaview Restaurants, moved to consent. Item 14B, 599-187A, moved to consent. Item 18A, 60692, California State Parks, moved to consent. On page 13 of the agenda, item 18B, Zagara, is postponed. Item 18D, 606-143, Wildenberg, is postponed. Item 18E, 606-147, move to consent. Item 18F is 606-06, Deutsch. The applicant is requesting postponement, but that must be granted by the commission at the time that item comes up. And on an additional change is item 19A, A60398 and A6NOC0550, the Pardee revised findings. That item is postponed. And finally, on page 14 of the agenda, there are no changes.
Thank you very much. Also, I'd like to remind everyone, the commissioners, et cetera, that our Priscilla Pike has asked me again to announce that if we could speak into the microphone, it's very difficult for her to see who's speaking so that we can have an accurate record of these proceedings. So if we could all do that, we greatly appreciate it. I think it was yesterday everybody cooperated with that. Please do it again today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Director.
A couple
Douglas.
Things. I'm passing down a book that isn't in the bookstores yet, but this is the second in a series of Coastal Commission books on the California coast. As you know, we have an agreement with the University of California Press to write and publish these guides to the California coast. Not only are they kind of an update of the very popular and high-selling coastal access guide, this is much more portable. It also combines the California Resources Guide, Coastal Resources Guide, and other publication this commission was responsible for, so that you not only know how to get to places along the coast in terms of access, but you'll also see and learn what you'll find there when you get there and what's on the way in terms of cultural and natural resources. Steve Scholl, who, as you recall, worked for this commission for many years, has come back to help us, and he's kind of the point person who's writing and editing and putting together these books, and I think they're really terrific. And as you'll see from this one, it's a good in the a good one in the series, and the next one will go, I think, down through Orange County, and then we'll have San Diego at the end. But I've just passed that around for your perusal. And then the other thing is, I forgot to remind you yesterday, but I remind you today that you are being this meeting is being live cast, so you are on camera. Plus, many of you are hooked up to the internet, and as we said last time, we are concerned that some of you may be getting emails about items that are on the agenda or that you're discussing. If you open those and read those, that's an ex parte communication that you would then have to disclose immediately when you get those. If you don't open the item, then, of course, it's not a communication, I don't think. But I just want to remind you of that. With that, let me turn it over to Sherilyn.
Thank you, Director Douglas.
The next item, number three, are the administrative permits for the South Coast District. These five items are routinely processed projects. Their conditions are acceptable to the applicant, and there's no known opposition. Therefore, staff recommends the commission approve these items on the administrative calendar.
Does anyone want to remove any item that's on the calendar? Is there any objection to concurrence? If not, we concur.
And item number four is the consent calendar for the South Coast District. There are four items, and the conditions are acceptable to the applicant. We're not aware of any opposition. There is a minor change in the addendum to condition number three for item 4C. Therefore, staff recommends that the commission approve the consent calendar for the South Coast District.
Motion.
So moved.
Commissioner Akajian moved the approval of the consent calendar, and Vice Chair Neely seconded that. Is there any questions, any objection to unanimous roll call vote on the consent calendar? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved.
Yes. Item number five is the consent calendar for the San Diego District. There's only one item. The conditions are acceptable, and there's no known opposition. Therefore, staff recommends the commission approve the consent calendar for the San Diego District.
Is there a motion on the consent calendar?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Akajian, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Any questions? If not, any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved, the San Diego consent calendar.
Item number 6 is the Deputy Director's report for the South Central District. The report includes only one waiver. Staff is not aware of any opposition to this item and recommends the Commission concur with Executive Director's determination on this matter.
Any objection to concurrence? Hearing none, we concur.
Item number 6A represents the completion of the amendment process for the Port of Hueneme's Port Master Plan Amendment number 7. The Harbor District has formally accepted the Commission's action on the Port Master Plan Amendment, and therefore staff recommends the Commission accept the Board's action and this amendment can be effectively certified. In your addendum packet on page 1, there's a motion for the Commission's acceptance of the Board's adoption of the amendment.
Motion. Vice Chair Neely.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Commission accept the Board of Harbor Commissioners Port of Hueneme Oxnard Harbor District adoption on January 8, 2007 of the Coastal Commission certification of the Port of Hueneme and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No.
Okay. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission approves.
Next item is item 6B, and this represents the completion of the amendment process for the City of Ventura's LCP Amendment 1-03. The City has formally agreed to accept the Commission's action on the LCP Amendment, and therefore staff recommends the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination that their actions are legally adequate and this amendment can be effectively certified.
Any objection to the Executive Director's determination? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
Item number 7 are the permit items. Staff is recommending we move to the consent calendar. Staff is recommending two items be moved to the consent calendar, and those are items 9A, the ball application, and item 9C, Los Angeles County Department of Public Works. There is an addendum for item 9A to correct some minor typographical errors in the staff report, and staff recommends the Commission vote and approve these items.
A motion?
Move approval.
Moved by Commissioner Akajian, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission has approved the consent calendar, items 9A and 9C.
The next item is item 8A. The City of Santa Barbara is requesting the Commission grant an exclusion order over a portion of the non-appealable developed area of the city. The Coastal Act authorized the Commission... The Coastal Act authorizes the Commission to grant an exclusion order over certain geographic areas within jurisdictions for categories of development that do not have any potential for any significant adverse effects on coastal resources and public access to and along the coast. Within these areas, a coastal development permit would not be required for certain types of development. In 1986, the Commission approved an exclusion order for the City of Santa Barbara. The proposed exclusion order, in effect, simply amends this previous order to add an exclusion for the demolition and reconstruction of a single-family residence within the certified city's non-appealable zone, and remove several exclusions already considered exempt under the Coastal Act and Commission regulations. And it also makes other minor changes to the exclusion order. The existing order already excludes the construction of a single-family residence on a vacant lot, and the proposed order would allow for the demolition and reconstruction of a new residence. The new residence would have to comply with all of the development standards within the certified LCP. Staff is recommending a special condition that specifies that development within 100 feet of ESHA or archaeological resources would not be excluded from the coastal development permit requirements. Staff is recommending approval of the exclusion order subject to 9 special conditions outlined in the staff report. The city is in agreement with the staff report, with the staff recommendation. The motion for approval can be found on page 5 of the staff report, and this concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you very much for that summary. And with that, I'll go to ex parties, starting on my left. Are there any ex parties from the commissioners?
None, sir.
Hearing none, we have no ex parties. And with that, open the public hearing. I see we have one speaker slip. And Beatrice Ramirez, are you just here for answer questions?
Yes. Or,
okay. Thank you very much for coming today. I'll close the public hearing and then go to Commissioner Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the commission adopt categorical exclusion E-06-1 for the City of Santa Barbara, subject to the conditions suggested in the staff report, and ask for a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Vice Chair Neely, and the maker and the seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion result in the adoption of the order of categorical exclusion as conditioned in this staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Riley? Thank you. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission is approved. The commission, by a two-thirds vote of the appointed members, and hereby adopts the order as conditioned, as consistent with the requirements of the Coastal Act. Okay.
The next item is item 8B. The City of Santa Barbara is requesting an amendment to the implementation plan of its certified local coastal program. Number one, reformat the overlay zone ordinance to improve the usability and simplify the ordinance language. Number two, incorporate a staff hearing officer to review minor coastal development permits. Number three, add a suspension and appeals process related to any decisions made by the staff hearing officer. Number four, standardize public noticing provisions. And number five, revise review and appeals procedures for secondary units. And six, add provisions for emergency permits. Also include the coastal exclusion order the commission just approved in item 8A to the ordinance. And finally, adds exemption categories to the implementation ordinance. The proposed zoning ordinance amendment is consistent with the certified land use plan, and staff is recommending approval of the LCP amendment subject to five suggested modifications. The city is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and staff is not aware of any opposition to the amendment. There is an addendum to the staff report to make some minor corrections to the staff report and the suggested modifications. And this concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you very much. Any ex parties starting on my left?
No, sir.
No ex parties. I'll open the public hearing. I have one speaker slip. Beatrice Ramirez, are you just here for questions, ma'am, again? Thank you for coming. I'll close the public hearing. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have two motions. The first is I move the commission reject the City of Santa Barbara Implementation Program Coastal Zoning Ordinance Amendment SBC-MAJ-1-06 is submitted and ask for a yes vote.
Been moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Potter. The maker and seconder of the motion are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the rejection of the proposed implementation program amendment and the adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in this staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion,
no,
Mr. Riley?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. The commission hereby denies the certification of the City of Santa Barbara's Implementation Program Coastal Zoning Ordinance Amendment SBC-MAJ-1-06 and adopts the findings as set forth in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the commission certify City of Santa Barbara Implementation Program Coastal Zoning Ordinance Amendment SBC-MAJ-1-06 if it is modified as suggested in the staff report, and ask for a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Potter. The maker and seconder of the motion are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the certification of the implementation program amendment with the suggested modification and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in this staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Riley?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. The commission hereby certifies the City of Santa Barbara's Implementation Program Coastal Zoning Ordinance Amendment SBC-MAJ-1-06, if modified as suggested, and adopts the findings set forth in this staff report. Thank you.
The next item is item 8C, and this is the City of Oxnard is requesting an amendment to the coastal zoning ordinance portion of its certified local coastal program. We do have a PowerPoint for this item, and if you could pull that up, that's for item 8C. The proposed zone change involves a rezone of a 1.39-acre parcel in the Oxnard Shores neighborhood from resource protection zone to a single-family beach zone. The 1.39-acre parcel is located west of Harbor Boulevard between Reefway and Breakers Way. And we're just waiting for that. Half a second.
We won't start the clock on you.
I'll be brief. All right, there we go. And on the slide, you can see where the property is located. And staff is recommending approval of the zoning amendment as submitted. The land use plan portion of the Oxnard LCP designates this parcel as residential. As such, there is no need to amend the land use plan portion of the LCP. However, the zoning designation for this parcel is resource protection. Therefore, the land use plan designation and the zoning designation are inconsistent. The proposed amendment will make the zoning designation and land use plan designation for these for this property consistent with one another. At the time the LCP was certified in 1985, certain properties within the Oxnard Shores residential area were designated as a resource protection as an interim zoning designation. Prior to the certification of the LCP, these properties were zoned for agricultural or oil drilling land uses. The resource protection zone standards do contain a provision that allow for this interim zoning designation. The city is currently processing a tentative tract map for a 12-lot residential subdivision on the Breakers Way property. The proposed residential density is consistent with the proposed single-family beach designation and is consistent with the surrounding residential lots in the Oxnard Shores area. Historically, the Oxnard Shores area was part of a large sand dune complex. The area was subdivided, and the dunes were completely removed and graded prior to 1972. Homes were constructed on the majority of the lots over the years, as you can see on this slide. The Breakers Way site is separated from the beach by a large area of residential development. The site is also separated from a large sand dune complex inland of Harbor Boulevard by a wall, a frontage road, and Harbor Boulevard itself. The Breakers Way parcel is severely disturbed and does not contain any dune landforms or any rare or endangered plant or animal life. The site is primarily comprised of annual non-native grasses. Dr. John Dixon, the commission's biologist, has reviewed the biological reports that were submitted with the amendment and has visited the site and has determined the site does not meet the Coastal Act definition of an environmentally sensitive habitat area. The city previously submitted an LCP amendment 1-05 for the same zone change for the subject site, as well as another site located in Oxnard Shores known as the Whitecap site. This LCP amendment was scheduled for the August 2006 commission hearing, and staff was recommending a suggested modification to retain the resource protection designation for the Whitecap site, which is located here. Dr. Dixon determined that the Whitecap site did contain sensitive dune and animal and plant species and therefore was considered to be an ESHA as defined under the Coastal Act. The city withdrew the LCP amendment before the August 2006 commission meeting. The applicants submitted the proposed LCP amendment only for the Breakers Way site, which is not considered to be an ESHA as determined by Dr. Dixon. A couple of ground photos here that show the site. You can see that the site is completely graded and there are no sand dune landforms and there are just non-native grasses on the site and has been disturbed by the people parking on the this property there and using it for recreational purposes and other uses. In conclusion, the proposed zone change is appropriate in this case, and staff is recommending approval of the amendment as submitted. The motion for approval can be found on page 3 of the staff report, and this concludes staff's presentation. One other final note. In your addendum packets, you'll find 5 letters of opposition to the proposed zone change, and one includes some 57 signatures from neighbors in the area. And this concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth. Any ex-parties starting on my left?
No, sir.
No ex-parties? Okay, I'll open the public hearing, and Mr. Kaufman, sir, and there's Mr. Massaro is next. So how much time, sir, are you requesting? Yep, would you turn your mic on and state your name for the record?
That.
Yeah, pull the microphone up if you would.
Does it work?
Yeah. No, no, it's not working. They don't have it on. Could you? Yeah, no, the light can be on and it's not magnifying over there. Try it again.
Good morning.
No, there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
It's the bad laugh.
So, state your name for the record and how much time are you requesting, sir?
I'm requesting 10 minutes. And hopefully we can do it.
And does that include your rebuttal time?
Or? Yes, it does.
Okay.
That's total time.
And how much time would you like to save for rebuttal?
About 3 minutes.
Okay, so you're 7 minutes now?
And 7 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Stephen Kaufman for the City of Oxnard, and with me today is the City's Planning Manager, Sue Martin. The City appreciates staff's thorough work on this LCP amendment and accepts the staff recommendation. But since there's been some opposition, I wanted to address a couple of points this morning. And we're waiting for the PowerPoint to come up.
Also, while we're taking a break here, we found some more, Vice Chair Neely handed me some more speaker slips in opposition, so we will call on you people, and we just got them in order here, so there's a three more speakers after Mr. Massaro. Okay.
Okay.
In fact, before you start speaking, I think these three have an organized presentation that are against it, and we'll take them before Mr. Massaro. Okay? So go ahead, Mr. Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why don't you go to the next slide? This is the Breakers Way parcel. It's at the back end of the Oxnard Shores neighborhood, and it's about a quarter mile from the beach. And Mr. Ainsworth explained to you that we had a previous LCP amendment that originally included this parcel and another parcel on Whitecap, which is shown in the slide. And at that time, the staff recommendation was for approval as to this property, but for denial as to Whitecap. And frankly, we need to do more science on Whitecap, and we're in the process of doing that. So we thought it made more sense to separate these two into separate LCP amendments, and that's what we've done. In addition, it's worth noting that in January of 2005, you approved an identical LCP amendment for Seahorse Way. It's also a parcel oriented at the back of Oxnard Shores, and it's about the same size as the Breakers parcel, but it has a bit more vegetation on it. I wanted to begin with just a brief discussion of legal framework. First, I want to emphasize that this LCP amendment seeks to do really what the Coastal Act requires, to conform the zoning of the property to its certified land use designation. And here, the land use plan, as Jack explained, certified by the commission, designates this property as existing residential area. And it says that this designation is to be applied only to existing partially developed neighborhoods, which is this neighborhood, and that this designation will allow the full build-out of these areas at existing densities, and that's what we seek to do. But the current zoning designation is coastal resource protection, and that's what this LCP refers to as an interim designation. In this case, because this site was originally intended for oil drilling activity, something that never came to pass. And so the purpose of this LCP amendment is to change the zoning designation to single-family beach to conform it to the certified residential land use designation. In terms of the site characteristics, it's obviously an infill parcel. It's surrounded on three sides by residential development, a frontage road, and then beyond that by a very busy arterial Harbor Boulevard. It has no connection to the beach or other dune communities. And as you're, frankly, it's a highly disturbed site, and it has no habitat of note. As Jack has explained, the staff report goes into some detail. The site has no ESHA. In 2002, which is a critical date because of some of the issues that have been raised, Dudek and Associates prepared a biological report, which is attached as Exhibit 7 to your staff report. And that report explained that there are no sensitive plant or animal species on this site. And it further explained that 86% of the site is occupied by non-native grasses, and 14% is disturbed habitat at the edges, and those areas are nearly entirely lacking in vegetation due to vehicle use. That's what it was in 2002, and that's what it is today. The Dudek findings were confirmed by biologists at Impact Sciences in 2005, 2006, and most recently in 2007. And as Jack explained, the site has been visited by your biologist, Dr. Dixon, and as the staff report states, he concluded that the site did not contain habitat that meets the definition of ESHA. Finally, a couple of the letters attached to the staff report suggest that the city graded this property in 2004 and destroyed habitat, and that's just not correct. So I wanted to show you that through a series of visuals. As the staff report correctly states, this property's flat, and it's been repeatedly disturbed over many years by vehicles, dumping and storage of construction materials and debris, and human intrusion, often by those constructing new residences in the neighborhood. So Jack has shown you aerials from 72, 79, and 2004. This first one is from 1998. It's a city aerial. The next one is a 2002 aerial from the California Coastal Records Project, and this corresponds essentially to when the 2002 Dudek report was prepared, and you can see that the property is decidedly flat. This is a city aerial. Next one from 2003 shows the same thing. Next one, 2004, you can see a small amount of dirt and debris dumped in the just off the middle of the site. In 2005, it's again flat, and in 2006, no change. And finally, a couple of photographs taken a couple weeks ago. I think we must have crossed paths with staff. The first is a panorama shot taken from the Harbor Boulevard frontage looking back at the property. Parked on the left of the photo were three vehicles used by workers who were remodeling a house two doors closer to the beach. In the middle, we found a skip loader parked by some contractor on the property. It's not a city bulldozer. And off to the right, there were a couple vehicles parked by painters working on a new house across the way. Next photo just looks across the property from the other side. You can see the tire tracks in the foreground. And lastly, this is the same photo that Jack showed you. It's part of Exhibit 11 to the staff report, but I wanted it here to show you what happens to this property. These are construction materials that were dumped off on this property for a house probably over here that was under construction. And so it's clear that this property's had no sensitive habitat for many, many, many years, and it is and has been highly disturbed for some time now. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we agree with the staff recommendation and ask that you certify the LCP amendment, and I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
We will do that, Mr. Kaufman, and so you You have almost 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 52 seconds. But 3 minutes, we'll give you 3 minutes or 3 minutes and 52 seconds, whichever you want, to be fair. At this time, I'd like to, there's an organized presentation. Mr. Gary Einstein. Sir, I see that there is Patricia Einstein here and also Maria Einstein.
Marina, yeah, that's correct.
Okay, they're all here, okay. And you're asking for 15 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah.
Okay, granted. And you will take 6 minutes?
I will take
minutes?
6 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Go ahead and proceed then.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm here today in opposition of the rezoning of the Breakers Way lot in Oxnard Shores. I want to state 7 facts that pertain not only to the Breakers Way lot, but to the Whitecap Echelot and how they relate together. Fact 1, Dr. Dixon, on your recommendation, visited both sites, and he stated the Breakers Way lot was highly disturbed. But in contrast, he found the Whitecap lot to have significant habitat value, dune topography, and vegetated with native southern foredune species. He also noted 2 species of concern on the lot, the coast horn lizard and the long-billed curlew. Dr. Dixon declared the Whitecap lot Esha, as did the state fish and game. Fact 2, last August, the city withdrew their LCP amendment to rezone the 2 resource-protected lots because they did not like your staff's recommendation of Esha. Fact 3, at the August Coastal Commission meeting in San Pedro, Oxnard Shores residents shared their concern with you that the city of Oxnard would destroy the Whitecap Esha lot as they have the Breakers Way resource-protected lot for years. We showed you pictures of the city using heavy machinery to plow and grade the Breakers Way resource-protected lot, all without permits. Mr. Kaufman, the Oxnard City Attorney, assured us, as well as Chief Enforcement Officer Lisa Hage, who was also present, that the Whitecap lot would not be touched. Lisa Hage warned Mr. Kaufman the city was in violation and this would not be tolerated on resource-protected land, especially one that is Esha. Fact 4, 6 months later, on January 30th, 2007, just 2 weeks after the 2 lots were sold to a developer, the city of Oxnard showed what they thought of your chief enforcement officer's warning and also Dr. Dixon's and the state fish and game's finding of Esha. Just last month, with total disregard from neighbors' pleas to stop, a drilling rig showed up on the Whitecap Esha lot. The drilling rig drove all over the Esha lot, killing several native plants, scaring away the long-billed curlew, and disturbing the dune topography. The neighbors asked for permits, and the drilling crew told them the permits were not necessary. The drilling workers also paid no concern when we told them that the Ventura Coastal Office was notified. Your Ventura Coastal Enforcement Officer, Pat Fassard, quickly called the city that morning to tell them to stop, and the city chose to do nothing that day. So the drilling, habitat destruction, and landform alteration continued all day. The thing that makes this all so ironic is that when neighbors were placing small informative signs on the edge of the Whitecap lot, educating the public about the native plants and species and to respect them, the city quickly sent an enforcement officer out to take them down because we did not have a permit to do so. Fact 5 is the city must have permits to drill and grade. According to George Roberts, who works for the Oxnard City Permit Department, anytime drilling and grading of this type is done to the land, a permit must be attained through his department. He also said as of March 6, 2007, his records showed no history of permits being issued on either one of these lots. Fact 6 is the city of Oxnard sold both lots to a developer prior to your decision because they felt your vote was just a formality. If that was not the case, why would a developer buy 2 resource-protected lots, especially one that is Esha, unless they were given some assurance by the city that they would someday be able to build on both of them? Was the assurance that someday the city would make the Whitecap Esha lot look like the highly disturbed Breakers Way lot? The city is probably willing to destroy the Whitecap lot, pay the penalty, and mitigate with another property not worth the $16 million that these 2 lots are worth to them. Fact 7 comes from your staff's report when they cite the Breakers Way lot being highly disturbed and not inhabited by rare or endangered plant or animal species.
We do not disagree with this statement. Considering all the abuse and neglect that the city has shown this resource-protected land over the years, it's amazing grass still grows on it. However, there was a time just prior to city ownership, according to many neighbors, when native plants and horned-toed lizards lived in and around the Breakers Way lot. But unfortunately, only memory and not pictures can tell us, because no one thought to document the city's destructive ways until it was too late. In conclusion, the city of Oxnard comes in front of you asking that you reward them for years of abusing and neglecting resource-protected land. They are here today for what they think is just a formality. They are asking for the rezoning for the resource-protected Breakers Way lot, even though they show no respect for the coastal zone that you strive to protect. The city only sees money, not natural resources. However, today you have the opportunity to make the city of Oxnard an example for other agencies that destroy resource-protected land for their own gain. We ask you to consider not voting for the staff recommendation, or at least have them mitigate with the protection of the Whitecap Echelot. Otherwise, these beautiful southern foredunes located on Whitecap will continue to be degraded and unprotected by the city of Oxnard, just like the Breakers Way resource-protected land. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Einstein. Patricia Einstein?
I have range. I might have to just run over and flip something.
Well,
can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Okay. 8 minutes, ma'am?
Yes.
And would you give your name for the record, please?
My name is Patricia Einstein.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I am here today because I believe in this governing body. My family and I used to live down the street from this Breakers Way lot, and we, along with numerous neighbors, truly believe there are numerous reasons why this lot should not be rezoned. I just want to mention four of them. Reason one, this lot was a gift to the city of Oxnard from the McGrath family. It has been a gift of open space in this coastal zone community. It was given to the city as resource-protected land, and it should stay resource-protected land. If the city doesn't want resource-protected land, then give the land to somebody who wants and could protect the RP land.
You could give that to your husband, maybe, and just when you want to change it, look at him. And you don't want to.
This might be easier.
Oh, you don't want to give your husband any control.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. You go ahead.
Okay. Reason two. The Oxnard Shores community was designed prior to 1972, when most families only owned one car. The neighborhood has very limited public parking for beach access, and more homes would increase the parking problem. For example, here's a map that the city submitted with their application. The only place the public parking exists is located in the pink. That's the only place that people can park when they come to this beach. Okay, reason three. No mitigation is being given to the loss of this Breakers Way lot. If the lot was in better condition and there were species of concern on the land, then the city would have to mitigate. The city of Oxnard helped destroy this lot by annually cutting the plants with heavy equipment. This removed any ESHA over the past years. If you rezone the land, it sends the message that in order to get resource-protected land rezoned, it's a good thing to destroy it first. Many neighbors can contest to the fact that this beach community is home to species of concern like the coastal horned lizard, and that this lot used to look a lot more natural. Here are just a few neighbors who signed a neighborhood letter opposing this rezoning who live near the Breakers Way lot. Listen to what they have to say.
Construction site, and if anybody destroyed.
Okay.
All right, My name is Dennis Doherty, and I live here at 5249 Reefway, and I've lived here since 1988. And this field here, it looked pretty natural, but when I first moved here in 88, and since they did all the streets and upgraded all the roads, they took all the old asphalt and they piled it up here and they used this for a construction site. And if anybody destroyed this lot, it was the people that did all the roads.
My name's Scott Loomis. I live down the street from the Breakers Way empty lot. And I'm here to say that in the path I found little horned toads in this lot right behind me here. I found an adult one and a couple little teeny baby ones about the size of my thumbnail. So I know they are in the area.
My name is Randy Scuria. I live on Reef Way. I have for about 19 years, just down from the Breakers Way lot. I do recall when I first moved here that that lot looked a lot more natural. And at the time, I used to catch these horned toads, or horned lizards as you guys call them, and keep them as pets and then re-release them just adjacent to that lot. The sidewalks had them, and the other empty lots close to the beach had them crawling around. So things have changed, apparently for the worse.
I'm Harry Carino, and I've lived on Reef Way, 5418 Reef Way, for 30-plus years. Probably three-quarters of the way down from the Breakers Way lot. The lot at Breakers Way was a lot more natural back then. There was more natural vegetation, and now it's really looking not so good. Some of the natural habitat has been damaged. The horned toad lizard, I guess, used to be more predominant. We used to catch them close to our home, and I don't see them anymore, and it's a shame.
Okay, reason four. Even though only the Breakers Way lot has been submitted for rezoning, this land is still tied to the Whitecap Esha lot. The city of Oxnard sold the two lots together on January 9th so that both could be developed. You have to ask yourself why a developer would buy two resource-protected parcels, one of which has been found to be Esha, unless he was assured that both parcels will be able to be built upon. What assurances has the city of Oxnard given this developer? Is the city confident that they can transform the Whitecap Esha lot as they did the Breakers Way lot? Well, their plan is off to a good start. Here's how soil testing was done on Whitecap. This is how soil testing was done on Whitecap before the Coastal Commission recommended it Esha on January 12, 2006, done with a hand shovel and no massive trucks, but just a hand shovel. Okay, so soil testing can be done in this manner. But now take a look at how soil testing is done now on the Whitecap lot after the Coastal Commission recommended it Esha. Okay, furthermore, the city of Oxnard didn't even attempt to sell either lot to a conservancy for restoration and protection of these two coastal resources with any of the funding now available through Proposition 84. And we just want to point out that Cal State University Channel Islands Biology Department is very interested in helping to restore these four dunes and making these sites educational sites. Okay, what they should be used for. So we're asking you to please consider changing the stack recommendation and do not rezone resource-protected land, or at least mitigate the loss of the Breakers Way lot for the protection of the Whitecap Esha lot. Unfortunately, we are asking for one to sacrifice itself for the protection of the other. Please do not vote for the rezoning before you today until we can all be reassured that the Whitecap lot will be protected. Please help our community save what we like to call the McGrath Four Dunes. Thank you. Oh, my daughter Marina. Marina, yeah. You're next.
Marina, it gets 1 minute.
1 minute.
Okay, Marina.
You have to say.
Please protect.
Please protect the birds and the lizards.
You need to speak into the microphone. Thank you.
We just wanted to show that Marina was actually witness to one of the horned lizards one day when we were out on the lot. So, thank you.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. Mark Massara. Just a second. Three minutes, sir.
That ought to be fine. Chairman, Commissioners, Mark Massara, Sierra Club Coastal Program. Due to the extreme bad faith of the City of Oxnard, we urge you to deny this rezone of open space property originally intended to serve as a children's playground, and we hope you'll prevent the intended sale of the property for residential real estate speculation. As for the pictures that the city has just shown you, rather than cause you to support conversion of the property, it ought to have you jumping out of your chair and angry that the City of Oxnard refuses to enforce their zoning code and protect these lands that are zoned resource protection. Most important, we hope that you will send a clear message to the city and their representatives and everyone complicit in this scandalous affair that the backroom dealings and Esha destruction on the Whitecap parcel will not be rewarded by allowing the sale of the Breakers Way parcel. You will recall that the city originally proposed to rezone and sell off two sand dunes for housing development, Breakers Way and Whitecap. You will recall that neither was appropriate, as each represented the last publicly owned sand dune open space parcels in the Oxnard Shores area, an area highly overdeveloped at this point and where sand dunes have been lost now for 30 years. You will recall that your staff tried to appease the city and split the baby and allow the loss of the Breakers Way parcel while recommending protection of the Whitecap parcel. You will recall that Dr. Dixon found the Whitecap parcel to be Esha. And do you know what the city did? Clever wrongdoers they are, they split the application to go forward with the Breakers Way rezone and then sold the Whitecap parcel to developers as a deliberate, if not smart, effort to subvert your Esha determination and protection efforts. Recall that the City of Oxnard doesn't, their LCP doesn't even acknowledge Esha exists anywhere in the city. Then developers proceeded to try to destroy the Esha on the Whitecap parcel. Yesterday, they were out on the Whitecap parcel doing a legless lizard search after destroying the property. How silly do they think that we are? This is a scam, it's a setup, it's a ruse, and it's designed to ensure destruction of both lots and both parcels and conversion of both open space parcels to real estate development. Please put a stop to it now and send a clear message that Esha matters.
Thank you, Mr. Massar. And before we go back to you, Mr. Kaufman, Commissioner Juan has to put something on the record.
Yes, Commissioner Blank asked me to look at a letter that he received from Mark Massara on this matter, and so I have to report that as a matter of ex parte communications. And in it, he basically covered the same things that he did in his talk right now.
Thank you, Commissioner Juan. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stephen Kaufman.
And how much time, sir? You have about 3 minutes and 50 seconds left of the 10 minutes.
I could probably use about four minutes.
That's fine. We'll give you 4 minutes.
50 seconds would be good.
4 minutes is fine.
You have been shown a number of photographs that don't bear any relation to Breakers Way. They pertain to Whitecap. There are differences between these two properties, and we don't agree with the staff recommendation on Whitecap, but I'll tell you, we have to prove it to you. There's no effort here being made to subvert anybody. We know that it's a tough road to go before this commission, and we wanted to separate this into two very different applications, just as we did with Seahorse Way. There's no destruction on Whitecap. What you saw was a truck that went out there to drill 6-inch boreholes. It drilled actually two of them that I could find when I went out there. I did not see any destruction of the site in any respect. If a gopher came and dug a hole and flipped the stuff back over it to cover it up, that's what I saw. However, what you saw earlier was not soil testing. It was looking for groundwater depth. That's why it was done with a hand auger. So two different things. In any case, we stopped that the very day that it came up and nothing is happening to that property. You can trust me on that. As to Esha, this is why we showed you all those aerials. The Breakers Way parcel is, as your staff has described and as John Dixon has reviewed it, not Esha. It doesn't have those characteristics today. Ms. Einstein is wrong. This was not gifted to the city as a resource-protected area. It was deeded to the city in 1958 by the McGrath family. This issue actually went to court in 2004. I'll just read from the judgment. The court finds there are no facts or circumstances surrounding the deed transferring the property in 1959, demonstrating an express or implied intent by the McGraths or the city to restrict the use of these drill sites, numbers 1 and 2, let alone to restrict that use to playground, park, or parking lot purposes. With respect to parking, the certified LCP dictates the parking requirements for this area. It is unusual, I think, that the Einstein family would appear before you because they own a property down the street and they're in the process of building a house on the very same type of soil. The photographs showing the mowing of the site are not from this property. As far as I can tell, looking at the houses in the background, it's from a different site. The sale to the developer was well in process, well before any of this went down. And let me see if there's anything else I really wanted to bring to your attention. When you look at the sensitivity of a piece of property, you take that property as you find it. We've heard that many times. This property in 2002 was examined by DUDEC, and at that time, it had no habitat on it. Work that was claimed to have been done by the city in paving streets for these people in their community would have taken place after that. There has been no habitat destruction on the Breakers parcel, and you need to separate from Whitecap and Breakers. We are going to have to demonstrate to you that Whitecap is not an Esha. And in order to do that, we have to go out and do legless lizard surveys. We have to do a horned toad survey. After that horned toad was found on the property, I sent out four biologists on Whitecap, and there were no horned toads out there, and we've done the surveys for it. But believe me, we understand. We're going to have to come back before you and make our case on Whitecap. But on Breakers, it's a different issue. So I ask that you adhere to your staff's recommendation and approve the LCP amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kaufman. With that, we'll close the public hearing and return to staff for a response. And maybe, Mr. Ainsworth, you can help us with this one here and go through and take your time.
Thank you. With regard to the Esha question on the site, the site has been historically disturbed, starting prior to 1972, prior to the Coastal Act, and has continually been disturbed since that time. So, and with Dr. Dixon's analysis, we don't believe that the site constitutes Esha. With regard to the Whitecap violation, Mr. Kaufman is right. It has nothing to do with this particular LCP amendment. However, there was a violation that has occurred on Whitecap, and we do believe that permits were required for the drilling on that site. Lisa Hagee is going to have a report later on today with regard to this issue, and I think I'll leave it at that. With regard to the lot as a gift to the city, as Mr. Kaufman pointed out, this issue was litigated, and the city is not required to keep this as open space or parkland. Again, there's no basis for any mitigation on the site because there are no sensitive resources. And with that, that concludes staff's present comments.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth. And with that, I'll return to the commission for deliberation. Commissioners? Commissioner Wan.
You did answer one of my questions, Mr. Ainsworth, and that is when the destruction of the Breakers Way site started. If it started before, pre-coastal, as you're indicating, because you only showed pictures back to 98. You're indicating to us, or you just said that it actually started pre-coastal, pre-1972?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
I believe I did show a photograph of 1972.
Okay, that makes a huge difference, because if it's post-coastal, then they needed a permit, and the issue is, you know, if it was Esha and you didn't get a permit, then it's still Esha. But if it's pre-72, then that answers the question. So then the next issue for me does have to do with the relationship of this site to the White Cap site in this sense. I mean, setting aside the violation, which I find pretty serious. And I am concerned, and I don't know that there's anything we can do about it, about the sale of the property in this way by having sold that White Cap site, even if it is Esha and it's determined to be Esha, because of how the law is, we will be required to allow some development on that site regardless of whether or not it's totally Esha. And so that, I think, the point that is being made about somehow at least tying, because they are together, they were sold together, and the changes are being made together, about tying some kind of deed restriction to this change with some kind of deed restriction on the White Cap site, because that's the site I'm concerned about. This is not a site that we can do anything about, but I am concerned about what could happen to the White Cap site, and I am not sure what we can do about it, but maybe you can tell me about that, because they were sold together and they were just sold now, it does create the problem in the future for the White Cap site. So I don't know if you have any comments.
Well, through the chair, this is more of a legal question, but in my view, that is a separate matter with regard to how these lots were or the sale was linked together. That has nothing to do with this particular LCP amendment. Now, this does go to the applicant's economic expectations with regard to that White Cap site, because it was very clear, the commission made it quite clear that, or at least staff did, that we considered that White Cap site to be Esha. So it goes to, it does factor into the, a future LCP amendment as it relates to White Cap, but not Breakers Way.